Morning. I'm Constance, and I co-lead Chai Tea House Church with Wicket. Let us open up in a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for your love and faithfulness, and for walking with us daily. We thank you for this morning, for bringing us together here today. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. May you speak into our hearts and lead us in our prayers. Let everything that is spoken come from you and be glorifying to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we are reading the passage from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 39. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother.' And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountains, he was sitting there, and large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7 and a few small fish." And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan. There were two things from this passage that impress upon me. The first is at the beginning of the passage where it talks about Jesus rebuking the Pharisees on how they put their own traditions over God's word when they criticize Jesus' disciples not washing their hands before they eat, which is a part of the Jewish tradition that they uphold. The Pharisees were basically manipulating God's word to their own convenience, to serve their own purposes instead of God's. But Jesus pointed out that what really makes a man unclean is what comes out of his mouth and not what goes in it. I really like the Message translation of verses 10 to 11, where it says, "Listen and take this to heart. It's not what you swallow up that pollutes your life, but what you vomit up." The word pollute really helped me visualize the severity of our words and what they can do. It cuts through our lives in every way. And it helped me reflect on something that happened, actually not long ago. My husband has been really busy with work lately, and as a result, we haven't been spending as much quality time together as a family as we would like. And we had a conversation recently about how we use our time. He made a joke about how I'm tired all the time, but that I spend a lot of my free time doing random things instead of sleeping. And I responded with what initially was a lighthearted take on me expressing, I wanted to express that I can't wait for his busy season to be over so we can have more family time together. But perhaps it was badly expressed, and what he took from it was me accusing him not being present as a father and husband. My careless words have not only hurt him, but also revealed my heart, the worries and concerns that I didn't even know I had. And more importantly, the lie is that what we have is not enough. Exactly how it was said in verse 18, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. And what was in my heart was reflected in my words. I have been more focused on my behavior rather than my relationship with God and the condition of my heart. The lies polluted my heart. I realized what I have been trying to do is what was right in my own eyes, and I handled busy tasks with bottled up false feelings with my own strength. I dealt with it how I thought was the right way to be a supportive wife. But that moment of outburst of my words revealed I was wrong. I didn't even realize where my heart was, and as a result hurt my husband with my words. Through that realization, I was able to come to God in repentance and lay down all those emotions that were hidden, and simply and humbly ask for help to remove those hidden lies. Is there anything that might be hidden in your heart that might be polluting different areas of your life and hindering your relationship with God? Are there emotions that might have been buried deep inside and that you haven't been able to uproot that God wants to speak into and heal? Has God been trying to bring to light these areas in your life so he can speak into and bring reconciliation? The second takeaway I had was from the story of the Canaanite women coming to Jesus and begging for mercy. This passage is often misunderstood and hard to read Jesus' cold responses to her. In the passage, Jesus had 3 cold responses. First, he ignores her. Then he said he's sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, basically saying that it's not her. And then third, probably the most hurtful, is when he said it's not right to take the children's bread and throwing it to their dogs, meaning her. But through Jesus' multiple cold and what seemed like very hurtful responses, the woman changed her response to God, to Jesus, accordingly. She was not offended. She didn't give up. She didn't walk off and seek help elsewhere. She continued to honor and worship God. She didn't question her position of her lower status. She fully accepted her lowly position, and she simply asked for help. And through her responses, it showed her great faith and humility. Her response helped me reflect in my own prayer life. Do I get discouraged when my prayers don't get answered, or when I'm not hearing from God? Do I seek help elsewhere when I feel like I'm not hearing? Do I assume God is saying no when I don't hear anything and pursue another way? The Canaanite woman didn't battle the truth of her position or question it. She simply asked for help. Have you accepted the position God has put you in, especially in waiting, and simply lay everything down and ask for help? Have you put all your trust in God the way the Canaanite woman did? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today as you reflect in your prayer life and comfort you when you feel God hasn't responded, to know with certainty that He is always listening and guiding you in how you seek Him.
A lamp unto Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Heavenly Father, we give you glory and praises, for we serve a great God. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity where we can uphold the very important tertiary educational institutions unto you. Lord, we want to be vibrant Christian fellowship and to see unity among all different Christian denominations within the Christian fellowship, putting aside their differences and working together to bring revival to the campus. God, we also pray that you will raise up good representatives of all denominations in university committees, working levels, academic organizations, and Christian fellowships, as well as good professors and lecturers who will be able to train a generation that builds society according to your heart, a pillar of strength, honoring God and benefiting people. Lord, please raise up Christian fellowships that can freely share the gospel on campus and connect all believers with local churches for discipleship. Thank you, Almighty God, that we can trust you to do this for us, because with God, all things are possible. We pray and supplicate in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Why don't we move to the front for us to go into a time of prayer together? Good morning. Just going to a time of community prayer. Let's pray for our house churches that are gathering today. So let's focus on that. Yes, Father, we lift up all the house churches that are gathering today. We pray for the leaders, that you would just strengthen them and give them rest. Maybe some of them are just coming home from a long day of work and transitioning straight into house church. So I just pray for rest and strength over their lives. We pray for the mealtimes that people have together as they share in fellowship, that they would draw closer to one another and build deeper relationships with one another. And we pray for the worship times and the sharing of the message, that you lead them and guide them in the conversations as well. And we just pray for deeper walks with you, for people just to have an encounter with you, God. And so, Father, we just thank you for each and every house church. We lift them up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. PSAM is back, right, this Sunday? Yeah, he's preaching. Okay. So why don't we pray for PSAM as well as he brings the word on Sunday. Father, we just lift up PSAM to you as he prepares for Sunday's message, that your words would just be speaking through him this Sunday, and that you give him the clarity to communicate everything that you've put in his heart. And so we just pray for him that he just has a great rest this week. We pray against any sickness coming against him as well, that he will just be strengthened and ready to go for Sunday, that you will be with him as he just prepares for this Sunday's message. And we just pray for just the other areas that happen on Sunday as well. So we pray for the children's ministry as well. We lift up all the teachers that are helping out, that you'd give them the wisdom and the patience as they're working with the kids as well. That they serve as a mentor to the kids as well. So we just pray for love to just abound in their life as well. So we pray for all the children that are going to be here as well, just receiving that the lessons that the teachers are communicating to them. So we just pray for your spirit to just be over the children's ministry and all the prepping as well that is still needed for Sunday as well. We pray for the welcoming team as well. We pray that you just give them joy, that when they see people, that they'll feel welcomed to walk into SP, that they'll just know more of your love through the welcoming team as well and the barista team as well. We pray for the AV team as well, just everything that they do on Sunday. Just pray for all the logistics and just all the technology as well, that everything would just come into place, and that there won't be any failures or any miscommunications in terms of things, that you would just bless them with unity as well in terms of all that they do. And we lift up the worship team as well as they prepare for practice on Saturday, that whoever is leading worship on Sunday, that you would just give them the songs that will be that you're leading them to sing for this Sunday, that align with what you are doing here at SP and that align with the message as well on Sunday. So we just pray for wisdom in terms of the songs, and we just pray for your spirit over the team as well, that you would just strengthen them and bring them closer together. Anything I'm missing for Sunday service as well? No, that's it, right? Okay. Let's move towards any immediate prayer requests. Anyone have any immediate prayer requests, something specific for this week or maybe...